understanding what a qualified buyer is today is pure gold. And the smart agents are absolutely jumping on board of that because they're actually getting some significant hot buyer lists together to actually prove their value.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. COVID-19 has created change in the industry, which we are all trying to navigate as the new normal. As some of you guys know, Elite Agent has been doing a series of webinars to help you all adjust and adapt. One such webinar we did was with Coach Michael Sheargold and industry leader John Cunningham. So this podcast is an adaptation of that webinar for this platform for those of you that prefer a pair of headphones to a computer screen. But some things don't change. As usual, we've taken notes, which you can download at EliteAgentElevate.com. So this webinar builds on our conversation with Matt LaHood and Claudio Encina. Today you're going to hear how old school real estate techniques will help you manage this crisis and your way through this crisis, why knowledge is power and the best ways to stay in touch. Plus, there are three rules to use in all marketing that will stand you in good stead for talking to clients right now. We had a lot of amazing feedback from this webinar. You're sure to get a lot out of it if you can afford the time to listen right through. So without further ado, on with the show. So today, my guests, obviously, John Cunningham from Cunningham's Real Estate in New South Wales and Michael Sheargold from REI Network and Drive Performance. So today, some big news, like somebody actually asked the question, how long could this social distancing thing actually go on for? And I suppose we want to deal with that right up front and early, because if it goes on till the end of June, then we're really going to have to rethink our businesses and how we're doing things. So John, first of all, that's a big question to hit you with first up on this lovely Thursday morning. But what are your thoughts on that straight off the bat?
It's interesting, Sam. I just came off another webinar with my sales team for the last hour, and that was the topic. We changed what we were going to be talking about and brought that into play. And the reality is, it's like, okay, we now know it's a maximum of 90 days. That's clear. What we don't know is clearly it's everything's fluid still. We don't know if it is actually the current quasi stage 3 shutdown, not lockdown. Will that exit out through stage 2? We just don't know the details. But I think what it gives us is a bit of clarity around the fact that in our businesses, we have to make significant changes to actually consider that we might be in exactly this situation for the next 90 days. So what we did this morning was we basically mapped out all the things that we were going to be doing in terms of our buyers, sellers, landlords and tenants and the conversations we were having around that space. And basically, it's a new world order. We're now approaching a completely rejigging of our businesses in a way that I find, ironically, a bit exciting. And I said, "It's I'm going back to my origin in 1979. This is how we did real estate." So the reality, it worked. People still transacted in those times when we didn't have open homes back then. We didn't really have auctions. All we did was private viewings. So the concept worked. A lot of real estate was transacted. It's really going to go back to the skills of the agent right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Michael, what sort of things are you talking about with your clients right now? Like, and given this new news, how are you seeing things at the moment?
Yeah, Sam, a couple of things. I think the first thing is that the way most countries have done this, they've escalated up and then they've also escalated down. So I don't think it's going to be a situation that come the 1st of July, okay, guys, let's go back and play. So that's the first important point. So on the way up and then on the way down. And my view is that this will be maintained based on what happens in terms of the infection rate. And by the way, one of the things I am coaching our clients to say, unless it's like go to this, or this is a COVID-19 standard, I would prefer our clients to be talking about from a health and a safety point of view right now, here's what we put in place. So for me, language is unbelievably important. And, you know, John, you're one of those great leaders from a communication point of view. What we want to make sure is all of our clients are applying a level, and you know, the leaders who are actually tuned in here, and effectively the agents who are on here, you're leaders for your clients right now in helping them navigate through this. So the quality of your conversation, you know, the big conversation I'm having is great strategy with the right mindset is going to outperform panic. So watch out how much news you're taking on board, maybe 15, 20 minutes in the morning and 15, 20 minutes at the end of the day, or if there's a news conference, you might tune into that. But I have seen some people, Sam, who've been on the news for 2 hours in the morning. Basically, that's the same news every 15 minutes, and they're just getting these loads. And then they wonder why when they get into their day and they start calling clients, they're doing anything other than service for themselves and service for their clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've been sort of saying to people over the last couple of days, because it's so easy. I mean, even I'm tempted, and I'm pretty rigorous on this as well, is that don't wake up and have the first thing you look at be your phone. Like, you know, at least have half an hour with a pen and paper and get your thoughts together, because as soon as you pick this up, you're going to be reacting to what's coming in here. And I don't think that's healthy for any of us at any time, let alone right now when you've got some people sort of hitting refresh, waiting for news on rent relief or waiting for news on something else. You know, like it's going to be, it is what it is. John, what sort of things are you talking to your team about in terms of getting them to stay positive? What sort of things have you got them doing at the moment that they're able to do that keep the world moving forward?
I think the main thing right now is to understand each individual's focus. What are they focusing on? And Michael talks a lot about what you can control, what you can't control, what you can do, what you can't do. So that's really what we're looking at right now. So what can you focus on? What can you do? And to get the mindset into that positivity space. So right now, more than ever, as a leader, my focus on the individuals in the team, not just the collective, but each nuance of each person right now is to work out where's their focus. What are the three things they need to focus on? What can they control? And right now, what they can really control probably more than anything is their influencing. People in the world that we inhabit know very little about what we do in reality and what it does for them. So now more than ever, they need to actually get people to understand where their value is. And I think we're going to see that value elevated to new levels right now. But if you're an ignorant agent, if you're an agent who hasn't really understood all the elements of, say, the JobKeeper package, that has an impact on your buyer, your seller, your landlord, your tenant. You have to actually know this stuff. But then you have to be able to put that into a rational piece of advice. So right now, people are wanting advice more than anything. And what should I do is the number one question. So we have to be skilled enough to actually provide people with, I'll use the word, professional advice, because this is what they need. They're not wanting someone to smoke and mirror. Smoke and mirrors are gone. The froth and bubble, it's gone. We're now back to, we've just heard that Cumberland, for example, sorry, News Corp have just closed 80 suburban newspapers. Came through yesterday. Now, anyone who relied upon the newspaper to promote themselves and be their profile in the marketplace, that's gone. It's you're either in the zone in terms of relationships and developing those relationships, which are now going to be stronger than ever. And I think this industry can come out of it very changed, but also very, very much more valuable in the eyes of consumers.
Yeah.
So again, focus in on upskilling, focus in on delivering advice to clients.
So over the last couple of weeks, well, days, I think I started our pro members email this morning with, you know, like what a year this week has been, because it kind of feels a bit like that at the moment. And for anyone who read that, that was not a typo, that was deliberate. Like there's a lot of things that we've seen change rapidly. It seems like pandemics trump the nice to haves right now, which a year ago, I can remember we were thinking, you know, online auctions would never take off. We were thinking 6 months ago that tenants doing inspections themselves would never take off. What sort of changes have you made to your business in the last couple of weeks to allow people to keep in touch?
Yeah, really good point, Sam, because how you communicate now is so, so important. And the language that Michael talked about, the language that we're using in our communication, both verbally and in writing. So our number one rule at the moment in terms of communication with clients is it must be done verbally before anything else. This is such an important way that people are going to connect. And having that connection, you know, whether we're doing an online appraisal, you know, virtual appraisal, for example, to do that effectively, you've got to do such great pre-qualification to understand what you're actually appraising, because there's only going to be so much you're going to be able to do with that. Having tenants doing Facebook Live or just FaceTime periodical inspections and things like that to make sure things are up to speed. Things like that, the digital space that we currently occupy has enabled us to adapt to that very, very quickly. We can adapt to virtual inspections on properties before anyone views them. So the pre-qualification things that we're going through now before we even take anyone to a property are the things that we should have always been doing anyway, which is quite interesting. But it was just easy. I'll come along to the open. Understanding what a qualified buyer is today is pure gold. And the smart agents are absolutely jumping on board of that because they're actually getting some significant hot buyer lists together to actually prove their value. These are qualified buyers. They're not just names pulled out of an open list. These are people who have their finance approved, have done the virtual tours, have checked out everything online and done all the tools that we can provide them. So we're actually bringing people through that property who are ready, willing and able to buy. And it's the same with tenancy. We just don't want randomness happening. We have to be very, very sure that in terms of safety, health and safety with our clients, we've done everything at our back end and we've used technology to enable us to do that. And I think that's where value is going to expand massively.
Yeah, absolutely.
And John, a couple of things on this. I had a leader say to me the other day, oh, Michael, our team aren't good at technology. And I said, well, one of the gifts that this is giving you is your team are going to get great at technology. So, you know, we're on Zoom here and streaming it to Facebook Live and so on. And one of the things that I believe is we've been in this mode of we market a property to generate people turning up to an open home to then qualify after this. And John, as you're saying, buyer point of view and a seller point of view, the quality of that qualification needs to be sensational right now. And it's always been in play, really. If you're truly having a deep conversation with the buyer or a deep conversation with the seller, you'll actually step into their shoes fully. And once we do that, then the virtual interactive inspection, which is what we're talking about, John, and I know you guys have embraced this, to be able to show a buyer in an interactive way, utilizing Zoom with some imagery as well, allows us to move someone through. So therefore, yes, we're going to have less physical inspections, but far more quality. And, you know, John, the good old days you mentioned earlier, it's like, well, let's sit down and have a look at what you want to achieve. Okay, there are three properties that we've got on our books at the moment that suit your needs. But let me also keep you in mind because it could be something around the corner that really suits you. So the level of service that potentially could improve with this is quite significant. And the only other point, Sam, I had earlier is the teams now need to master routine. And the challenge is we used to have a routine where we'd leave home, we'd get in the car, it was a sort of like this neat contextual shift into work. We'd arrive at work, we're now at our desk, okay, let's get into it. Same deal on the way home. It might be we leave the office or we leave an appointment and then we arrive back home. That's actually meshing for a lot of people right now. And the challenge is they've got to have the ability to switch from the personal mode into business mode. That's not to say if the kids are home, you're not going to have lunch with the kids or do something during the day. But be able to have that kind of switching channels is critically important.
Yeah. So things like, you know, you should still be time blocking your things that are must-dos. You should still be time blocking your prospecting, your calls, all of that sort of thing. Like, don't let that go just because you're in a different environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what the disciplines at play, the disciplines might be a little bit different to what you're doing, but you must have discipline. If you don't have the discipline, you're not taking the responsibility that's required. And the responsibility level right now has gone up a massive notch in terms of what we're responsible for. We used to be in this industry fudge it for so long, but the reality is it's staring us right in the face. We can't avoid that level of responsibility that's been put on us. So that enables you to actually really rely upon your disciplines. And if you don't have them, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, John, back to a written to-do list, what are the five most important priorities that I absolutely want to achieve today? They're not necessarily five calls. I want to do a call block of this. I want to focus on this. I want to make this happen. And have that there as a benchmark. And by all means, give yourself a treat at the end of doing those things or the end of doing two of them, have a treat, then come back to it and complete that. So just get into a really healthy view. There's no question everyone who's tuned into this is familiar with the concept of an ideal week. What we're doing is resetting and recreating an ideal week that's going to look differently, but still should achieve some great outcomes with this. The other thing, John, that, and I know I shared this with your team earlier this week, it's so critically important that if the guys were ever going to improve or needed to improve a skill set, I want to improve my objection handling. I know it hasn't been as good as what it could be. I want to take my negotiation skills to another level. Then why don't you do half an hour of focusing in on that, you know, tuning into something that you guys have got or something that we've got or something that's out there on the web that can give you this nice positivity, build your skill set. So we will come out of this. And the question is, how are you going to, what shape are you going to be in? For the business owners, they need to be clear on what the shape is they're going to be in. And for the individual agents and property managers, what shape are you going to be in? Fitter, healthier, more effective. You know, I'm doing a gym workout at home. I never thought I'd be able to do a good gym workout at home. I've had a transformation in my belief system around that as to what you can actually do with a small set of weights. It's all resetting what is possible and allowing people to actually step into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, at home I've set up the TV with an app called Peloton, so which I'm completely addicted to now. I got my 100-run T-shirt in the mail last week, and I would never have thought that, I mean, I was doing that before this, but now it's a lifesaver.
And Sam, just to check, are you watching TV or doing something while you're watching TV?
Yeah, so the Peloton app is a bunch of classes run by fitness instructors in New York.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
and if you've got a stationary bike or a treadmill or even just a set of weights, or even if you just like dancing, you can get on and dance. Like, it's like a webinar, but a fitness webinar.
Yeah, fantastic.
Tell you what, I started the Noom app 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with what we're going through, just a decision I made. It's great having that other discipline level because I've got certain goals I want to achieve every day and I'm held accountable to them. And I'm watching this, my world change in front of me. And I thought, why the hell haven't I done this before? But the point I'm making is that it's another level of discipline when you're in a weird environment to actually have these levels of discipline. So whatever you can do to keep healthy and have a great diet, boy, we'll come out of this all the better for it.
Yeah.
And John, you bring up a good point around discipline and something if anyone's done any coaching work with me would know that the commitment we're most likely to break is a commitment we make to ourselves. So a lot of people have heard me talk about accountability buddies, and that might be you might have two or three people in your inner circle that you're catching up with on a daily basis and you're saying, here's my plan for the day, here's what I'm focused on. Ideally, that's within your team, but it could be across. It could be someone you've met at a seminar or a workshop, or John, for us, it could be across the network where you literally have this support team in play. And when you can turn around and say, this is what we're doing in the morning, check in with those particular people. Then at the end of the day, give them a WhatsApp and say, okay, here's what I did achieve for the day. It just ups the accountability, ups the ability for people to take on board what they need to do. And that sense of feeling in connection. So, you know, we're saying become a master at FaceTime, be a master at Skype, be a master at Zoom meetings. And just have those kind of connection points coming in that can support that discipline, John, that you're talking about. I think one of the challenges can be is some people can look at this and they've just heard John Cunningham say, oh, you know, I need to be incredibly disciplined. Wow, I'm not sure if I'm that guy or that girl. Well, be okay with that, that the commitment that you and I are most likely to break is one we make to ourselves. So find someone you can externalize that commitment to and support you on that journey. By the way, you'll be supporting them on their commitments as well to move it forward.
Yeah. I mean, the other point that I'd probably like to make is James Clear's Atomic Habits. People have heard me banging on about that in the brief for 2 years now. But the trajectory of your habits right now is so important. Like, if you're doing little incremental things that future you will thank you for, they'll end up here. But I guess to your guy's point, if you're letting them go, you know, it's very easy to fall off. And like, as a marketer, so there's a question about digital marketing just come in. As a marketer, like, now is the time to take market share if you can get it right. So the question is, how important do you think digital marketing is right now? And before I sort of throw my opinion, my cat amongst the pigeons, John, what are you thinking about digital marketing at Cunningham's right now?
It's going off. And again, it's about messaging. What messaging are we sending out? We've got to be very, very careful right now in terms of the sensitivity of our messaging, in putting stuff out there, bragging about what an amazing month you've had and talking about millions of dollars and all that is not a good message right now. Its effectiveness is a great message. And so we're constantly nuancing our messages to the market conditions and also segmented markets and how we're bespoking those in terms of what goes on behind with the IT guys and our digital team to actually make sure that we're targeting the right markets with the right messages. But right now, our messages are care and positivity.
Yeah.
They're the two elements to what it is. The care component is making sure that we're here, that understand that we're here for advice. We're in this together is the classic phrase, but the reality is, talk to us. If you need help, talk to us.
Yeah.
Same as a message we're sending to tenants as well. You know, I believe compassion is a critical component through these times and everyone's trying to be hard ass about it, but to me, the people who win out of this will be the compassionate ones. And at the same time, people still want to deal with a person who is efficient and effective. So showing our efficiency, you know, this is the sort of time frame we're qualifying by. So we're doing all these steps to actually achieve our effectiveness. And I believe effectiveness comes out of efficiency. So this is a great time to become efficient, but you need to actually tell the market that. I think there's some interesting things the market take for granted. When they actually know that you understand these things, they respond to it. And that digital space, again, careful communication targeted to the right audience at the right time has absolute cut through.
I think that's really key there, the right audience at the right time. Michael, your thoughts?
So, John, I totally agree in terms of the message. I'm still seeing a few people put out like, I don't know what you're talking about. We had a great open on the weekend. And it's sort of like, you know, you're just doing this to those people in the community that are in a less fortunate position or have had to navigate in a different way than that. So the words, I guess there's opportunity in this marketplace, but if you become opportunistic, I guarantee it's you're going to be turning people off rather than actually having people lean in. So being of service, how can I support you? Let's look at what your needs are, showing people that you truly care right now. And this is where I think, and John, you know, you've been on this for this journey from, you know, as part of your past president of REI New South Wales. This is where I think as a profession, we can actually connect with people. So I talked about this morning on a Facebook Live around doing care calls. So, you know, I'm big on having a valid reason to call. Hello, the reason I'm calling you is to give an update on the market. No, the reason I'm calling you is to check in to see how you are. Is there anything I can support you with? And by the way, if it turns into a real estate conversation after that, great. But that's not the purpose of calling. You're calling because you truly care about your market. This market, and John, in your case, 25 years, isn't it, the Cunninghams?
Yeah.
So for 25 years, this market has actually supported...
29. Yeah.
What's that? 29. 29 years. It supported you, it supported your family and so on. And sure, there might be a pregnant pause, so to speak, in the actual market conditions, but this is going to change back. And I think the agents and the agencies will be remembered as to are the agencies as to how they were actually dealt with in that particular time frame. So check in, call, you know, I'm suggesting that, hey, do you need anything? Great, I can organise that for you. And I'm suggesting, you know, agents and the company go 50-50 or share the load of some of those things, but actually get things to the community that the community needs. What I will say too is I believe if the head of your property management team asks your senior property managers, what are the questions that our tenants and landlords are asking most? There is a consistency coming through. Take the top three of those, do a video and send the video out to all of your landlords and say, here are the questions that we've had the most. I thought I'd do a quick video update for you. I know some people say, I don't sound good on video. I don't look good on video. You just got to get over it and just start doing it. You know, it's not that. Same deal, John, for you. If you actually talk with the sales guys, okay, what are the vendors most concerned about or most interested in knowing right now? Great, let me do a video on those three key points and send it out to all vendors. The reason being, it means then the conversation I can have as an individual agent or I can have as an individual property manager sits on top of that particular learning. It also means that you as a leader have set the context for the conversation, which I think is really important. And once you set that context, I can build a conversation on top of that.
And on that point, Michael, we've found that video is by far the best medium at the moment to communicate with clients on so many different fronts, whether it be landlords, buyers, sellers, tenants, because we're able to use the information we've got in our database. Your CRM right now is pure gold. It's got everything that you need in there to actually make it work for you. And the agents that have really done well out of actually putting great notes and putting all the right information in that can use AI and all the rest of it, this is the place where a great CRM was going to work brilliantly for you. And then you can communicate. Once you understand your client, which is in your CRM, you can then communicate the appropriate way. And video at the moment, and we're doing multiple videos for different people and different types of clients and so on, because it is what you say. Find out what they're needing. So again, this morning's meeting with the team was finding out that. Here's the situation. What are people saying? And we had Andrew and myself sort of leading that in some role play and such. And this is so critical because that language we take out into the marketplace with that communications that we're doing, not just on a one-to-one basis, but as a broader sense, is very much based around what the sensitivity issues are right now.
Yeah.
What are people feeling right now and how are we addressing that?
Yeah.
Yes, I think the point is that you can't communicate to people in a tone-deaf kind of way. So, you know, like I'm still getting emails from people that sort of say just listed, you know, which I think is pretty tone-deaf given the conditions right now. And actually, John, I can see your co-worker behind you right now. And look, she thought that you made a very good point about databases just then, because I saw her lift her head and she went, "Oh, right, databases, my database is gold," and then kind of went back to sleep. So I do think that's a good point, like to kind of summarise that, you know, your database is gold, and now you'd be thinking if you'd kept all of those notes on each of your clients and if you'd been interested in them a while ago. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, but then you can call and have those meaningful conversations, because where I think it might be hard with what you're suggesting, Michael, is that if all you've ever been doing is calling people and saying, "Can I give you an update on the market? Can I give you an update on the market?" It's going to be really hard for someone to sort of go stop and say, "All right, you're calling me about something else now." Like, so what sort of dialogue would you use to cut through that?
Yeah. So, Sam, 2 points on this. Number one, anyone who's tuned in who says, "Oh, man, I haven't actually been doing, you know, putting notes into the system, and I really don't know much about my clients, and I'm seeing them more as a number, a phone number, than I am actually seeing them as a human being on the other end," I would say don't worry about it. Now is a great time to begin the journey of upgrading this. And look, one of the gifts I think these conditions have given you, if you were to do an hour or two of improving the quality of the information in your database per day, the transformation is going to occur over a month, let alone 2 or 3 months, will be absolutely significant. And, you know, we utilize the metaphor a lot called parking the car on the hill. And parking the car on the hill basically means typically in December, we should be listing for into January and getting people ready to have the conversation. We've effectively got another park the car on the hill this year, and that is what the health and the safety issues that exist right now. So the first thing I'd be doing is doing a quick check-in and saying, "Hey, it's ages since we've touched base. We're literally just calling and just doing a quick check-in to see how you're going. Is everything okay with you?" Right? So just, it's an open conversation. It's not like, "How are your property needs? Last time we spoke, you were thinking about selling. Is that changed? Or is there any property services I can help you with?" No. It's truly tuning in and seeing where they are at, and not asking them how you're enjoying the property. It's not asking them if there were 3 things you'd like in your next property, what would they be? No. It's all about them, where they are. And this is, I think, that fundamental difference that, John, you spend a lot of time with your team, and it's tuning in with the client rather than broadcasting a message. And the more that you can actually be present and tune in with the client, so truly listen to the client, absolutely update your CRM in the most appropriate way, then all of a sudden you'll be building some amazing momentum. And by the way, a reputation in the marketplace that will serve you for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And that's how really I'm supporting our guys thinking. This is some short-term pain, absolutely, but there's a long-term gain coming out of this. Mm. And for some people, they can't see that yet. So it's the request to create those shifts now to develop their skill set, develop their framework, and develop their relationships in a whole new way.
Yeah. It's that atomic habits thinking, isn't it? Again, like even if you don't have a relationship bank account that's open with someone, the message is just pick up the phone. I mean, get over that, because that's something future you will thank you for right now, is if you start opening that relationship account. And Michael, I always think of, I remember the last time you and I did a podcast together, you mentioned to me that the question you always think to yourself before you pick up the phone or before you come into work of a day is, "What am I going to learn today?" And I was thinking about that this morning because I knew we'd be chatting. And I was thinking, that's a really good way of approaching calls and things like that today, is that don't be, obviously, we're not selling anyone anything, but what can I learn today from this person? And if you have that firmly in your head, as you say, I think that's probably not a bad starting point.
It's an awesome starting point. So you've got a buyer inquiry coming in. And I think, to a point, John, that you started earlier around social media, it's responsiveness to social media that's important. So it's whoever is actually watching that, and someone puts a post on there, someone asks a question on there, someone flicks an email through. Now more than ever, our responsiveness needs to go to another level. But if we're in the mode of, we're now connecting with the client, we might get to Zoom faster than we otherwise would have, but at least we're on the phone with the client or on FaceTime with the client, and we're doing a check-in and saying, in our mind, "I wonder what I'm going to learn from this client." Because a lot of the time, our mode has been, "What am I going to deliver this client, and what am I going to say to this client to impress them?" That's not what this is about. This is actually about, firstly, understanding. And, you know, I'm known for saying seek first to understand before we actually play the understood game. So the key to listing property in any marketplace is listening. And right now, for us to be able to tune into the conversations, big time from a landlord point of view, big time with a tenant point of view, also with buyers and sellers, absolutely critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to throw it open to questions officially now. So if you've got a question, anyone on the webinar or anyone on Facebook, if you've got a question for either Michael or John or even me, I'm happy to throw my 2 cents worth in. Please leave it in the question box or in the comments on Facebook. But just to wrap up this digital marketing thing, the earlier question, I think digital marketing is now not an option. Whether we like it or not, we have to be digital marketing. But John, you know, you and I are kind of old fashioned in some ways. And I sort of think that even though digital marketing is not an option now, it's the old fashioned values of being able to talk to people. Like, so while you're getting used to FaceTime and getting used to doing Zooms and things like that, it's actually important to sort of think about the old fashioned things. Like, we had an article in the magazine from Alan Pease about body language. We had Pancho on the other day who was talking about your writing skills, because the better those old-fashioned, let's call them one-on-one skills are, the better they're going to come across on video. So while you're thinking high tech and while you're thinking get out there and just get on video and stuff like that, don't ignore the skill of being able to talk to people, because I think, as the guys are saying right now, that's number one.
Look, it's interesting, Sam, that when you look at combining the two together, It's perfect. It just works so brilliantly when you can actually articulate. And I talk to my team a lot about being able to articulate what they need to get across to a client. In other words, how are they going to actually understand the client if they can't articulate the right questions and they can't then digest those answers and then articulate back what the people need? And that is a skill I think that some people have and some people don't. It's a skill you can learn, though, without a doubt. And I love Alan and Pancho, particularly on that side of things, because it's about the language that you use and the appropriateness of the language you use in terms of the sensitivities. I mean, they want us to be human. They want us to be real. And they want us to actually have a conversation that resonates with them. I remember Robert Bevan, and people that my age all remember Robert, who started Best Practice. He said, it has to be local. It has to be current. It has to be relevant. Use those three rules in all the communications that you're doing. And I think the same thing applies no matter what the communication channel is. It has to be articulated really well. There's nothing worse than reading an email with a "you're" that's wrong. I know that's a thing.
I know. People give me hate mail for that all the time.
That's why I said it, Sam. But it's real. It's like they'll judge you on that.
Yeah.
Right? And you can lose it on the smallest of detail in your communication. And that's why what I love most about email is it verifies a phone call I've already had. Mm. That's its primary purpose. It's not an initial purpose that you send out. It verifies a conversation that you've had. And if you can deliver, and I think it's singly one of the greatest attributes good agents or great agents have, is that they discover clients' needs, understand what the most important things are for them, and they deliver back that they understood that. It's that discovery to understanding and articulating and understanding where a client goes, you get me, you understand what my needs are. Yeah. But so few people connect those dots. And I think now more than ever, again, is the time to shine in that space. If you do that really, really well, your value, and I'll talk about value increasing all the time, because that's all we have is a perceived value. And everyone's going to view it differently. And that's why some people still don't have trouble with fees, and a lot of people do have trouble with fees because they simply can't articulate value.
Yeah.
John, the only other point that I'd love to throw in on that is, and Sam, I love the way you say it, the good old-fashioned writing skills and being able to articulate a conversation and so on. Effectively, that skill set, all we're doing is putting it into a one-to-many. And one of the things that if I'm actually training someone to write great copy or do a video is I'm sending out a video to 1,000 people. No. Choose John Cunningham and I'm actually sending a video to John. I won't say, hi, John, because then it will be specific to John. But I'll have a conversation with John as if I'm having a conversation. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing my sessions that we do for REI Network with our momentum sessions, I imagine a team on the other side of the camera. So I'm not talking to the phone. I'm talking with a person or with a team there. Just like writing a letter, we write a letter or an email to one person. You're actually doing this to one person. You just happen to be having 700 people or 1,000 people or 20 people watch that same video. But it needs to be that me-to-you communication. We're just being able to leverage our time a little bit more with this tech.
Yeah, I would say the same thing with your email newsletters, guys. Like, I'm not going to say who I write the brief to of a morning, but I picture one person. She knows who she is, and she's probably on this webinar. But that's how people always say the brief comes across so personally. It's because I am, like, thinking about one person. And I think, Michael, that's such great advice, whether you're on video, whether you're on, you're doing emails and stuff like that. And there are some good, like, property managers out there are being hit all over the place right now. But the good ones, they are absolutely being reporters out there. They're getting together the news and they're sending it out just like a reporter would to their audience and getting on the front foot.
Sam, the other thing I bring up with this is a lot of clients haven't got the full picture, and a lot are playing, well, I'm sure by tomorrow I'll have more information. That's true. And next week I'll have more information. You don't have to know everything to be able to share what you do know. So share what you know right now, and, oh, it's changed in 2 days' time. Well, we'll share again because it's changed. Here's what we actually know now.
Yeah.
And I think to be operating that way as opposed to, and I think there's some agencies that have fallen into this, well, I'm sure we'll know more next week. I'm sure the government's going to announce something next week. Maybe, maybe not, but right now, here's what we know. So share what you know right now, and that way you'll be adding value to your clients in the process with care, with service, with support from a community point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. John, did you want to add anything to that? I do have a couple more questions that.
Yeah, I've got something I wanted to.
Hangovers from yesterday, but yeah.
When Michael mentioned about, you know, what did you learn today, it reminded me of something that happened, I would suggest, nearly 30 years ago with my eldest daughter. When coming from school and I'd do all the dinner and homework and all the rest of it, and then off to bed, I'd talk to her and I'd just ask a question. I'd say, what did you learn today? And one day she turned around to me and said, what did you learn today, Daddy? And it made me really think at that point, yeah, I learn so much every day. The question I had was, do I then apply that? And that single conversation changed my way of thinking moving forward because of what to learn. So every day, as Michael said, every day I'm looking at what I'm learning. And it really was such a magic moment to go through that and go, actually, just imagine that. I'm learning so much. I'm learning from people. I'm learning about real estate. I'm learning. And that's why the thirst for learning was from that one moment.
And John, on this point, Frankie and Yvonne are up here on the Gold Coast with Shane and myself. So it's really, really neat to see that schooling process, which I'm not doing a lot of, by the way. It's mostly Yvonne and Shane. But it's a beautiful reminder that kids are given problems to solve to learn things. So this is, we're being given this problem to solve. And as soon as we actually go, oh, we're given a problem to solve, as opposed to a lot of the time as adults, we think we shouldn't have any problems. We're an adult.
Yeah.
Who made that up? So as soon as you start to lose your energy around it and say, hang on, I've been given a problem to solve, let me apply a great strategy, a great mindset, and I guarantee something good's going to come out of this. It may not look like it, we're in the thick of it, but it's a bit like a garage sale or a garage cleanup, actually. When you're halfway through a garage cleanup, I guarantee it's going to look worse than when you actually started. So for some of you, you might be in that mode of you're halfway through the garage cleanup. Recommend you keep going to the other side because it's going to be far more efficient, far more effective from that point of view.
What an opportunity.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was going to say, John, is that, of course, us grown-ups have problems to solve. They are called opportunities. We just need to start looking at them that way.
Yep.
Okay, a couple of last questions, guys. If you want to put those questions in the comments box, I'm going to ask a couple of questions that we didn't quite get to yesterday. But John, this is a property management question from someone who was saying that they were getting a lot of landlords wanting to know what kind of support they could expect for charges incurred by the tenant. So this is another level deeper into the swamp, if you like, because that's what it feels like at the moment. We still haven't hit the bottom of it. You know, things like water and rates and land tax and things like that. So have you hit that with any of your landlords at the moment?
I think we've hit probably 10% of what we're going to hit in terms of the questions and the nuances, and we've put together a policy and procedure on this to actually so that our landlords understand what we're going to go through. But as I keep saying to my team and to clients when I talk to them, this is an evolving situation on a day-to-day basis, not even on a week-to-week basis. But what we've put together is a policy around these elements as to how we're going to approach tenants and what we're going to do. That particular question is an interesting one because the reality of what we're going through, if a tenant stops paying rent, doesn't pay for utilities and so on, there is a process under law that you've got to go through. And if that process under law through the tribunal doesn't meet your requirements through NCAT, in New South Wales particularly, or VCAT in Victoria, then you've got a court action to take. And this is a reality. If we're looking for relief from the government on certain things, I don't think it's going to come, quite frankly. There is an announcement coming today. Sorry, there's a meeting today. I think you probably, Tim and Leanne mentioned this too yesterday, that REO New South Wales have got, expecting some additional level of relief for both commercial and residential landlords or tenants from the state government. I'm doubtful on, purely because of the JobKeeper program that was introduced. The JobKeeper program for us is a critical one because all the negotiations we're doing around tenant requests are on a month-to-month basis. They are specifically for April. What are we doing in April? Then what are we doing in May? Then what are we doing in June? If you're going to take a long-term view now, I think it's not a good decision. I think the idea is to look at, and I've got a lot of landlords that are willing to help out. I'm saying, okay, I appreciate that, but let's help them out in April, because April's the critical month where there's no money coming in for people who've lost their jobs, whereas the JobKeeper program will kick in the 1st of May. Now, therefore, if people are getting money in, they've got money to go out. There's usually going to be some shortfall depending on the people's incomes, but it does make a massive difference to the equation. So I think to answer that question, one, I don't have the answer. Two, I don't expect that we will have the answer. And three, take it on a month-by-month basis. It's so much more palatable for the landlord to absorb and also for the tenant if you go about it the right way.
Yeah. Again, I think it's the things that you can control, and then any help that you get on top of that, anyone, it's a bonus. A
lot of focus on what you can't control right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Another question for you, John. What checks and things are you making on trades and things like that at the moment with all the social distancing regulations in place and likely to stay in place?
Again, same deal. Policy and procedure on has changed in terms of those trades and how they actually go about their work and the respect that they have to have for the people that that go into properties. A lot of people are saying, hey, I know I need this, but I don't want anyone coming in the property. Respect that. You're okay that light switch doesn't work or whatever it may be. Absolutely. And the same thing with tenants not allowing access until they actually move out. Nothing we can do about that. The tribunal doesn't care, and you'll never get a hearing. I think we got a hearing for something in June the other day. So therefore, again, you cannot control that. If you go and try and force access, they'll have the police and you'll be arrested. You can't trespass on property. So they're the things. We've framed that with our landlords from day one. It's highly likely a lot of tenants will not grant us access for relets or to show the property. And also the question is, a lot of people decided that that is not a safe environment either. The rule is that we're only doing relets on vacant properties. So everyone's going to have their way of approaching this, and we're all going to take a hit as a result.
Yeah.
By the way, John, you can do a virtual inspection.
Oh, sorry, yes.
On a property that is tenanted at the moment.
Which is what we've done. We've done that for tenants. We actually did have one tenant take a lease off a virtual inspection. There was an interesting argument to say, well, have they actually inspected the property? Do they know what they're getting? Well, they've signed a waiver to that effect. At this point in time, there's a lot of things we have to wing. And I think that's something that everyone has to accept. Is this completely legal? Is it kosher? We don't know, but we're going to wing it for the benefit of the landlord. This tenant wanted that property. They've secured it. Off we go.
And I think, John, if you play, this is in the best interest. So it's not in our best interest. It's actually in the best interest of this tenant, best interest of this particular landlord. I think the other thing is, Sam, and we've been saying this to our clients, you know, some of those beautiful photos that make a property look so much bigger than what it is, this is not the time to necessarily put those on a virtual inspection where you want the property to, and the way you describe it and the way you communicate it, to truly reflect what the actual property looks like. And, you know, I've been to open homes where I go, Shane, check out this property. It is incredible. We've got to go and have a look at it. So we arrive there and we go like, okay, there's a little bit of photographic
delivery letdown.
Well, there's a big risk you run with that now. And this came up on the webinar that we did with Hannah Gill, actually, is that, you know, what happens if somebody does a virtual inspection sight unseen, signs up the lease, and then gets to the property and goes, hang on a second, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, that is something that will definitely be tested at some point in the near future.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And again, the decision was the landlord's decision. The tenant needed to get a place by a certain time. They were coming from somewhere else. And we did a walkthrough video rather than just relied upon the photographs. So walked through the whole thing, videoed the whole virtual tour in effect. And they said, it's exactly what I want. I haven't been able to find anything I wanted. And landlord said, take it.
Yeah.
And so we had waivers signed on that, to that effect.
Yeah, I think.
Now, who knows if those waivers will hold up, whatever. But as Michael said, you've got to be adaptable.
Well, it's something that we're without precedent on. So we'll wait and see. Got a couple more questions. Actually, while we're still on, I was going to flick to you, Michael, but we've got another one for John. What about landlords who want to sell a tenanted property and the tenant doesn't want anyone through the tenanted home? Actually, we got a question on this on our website. this just this week. So guy has got a newborn baby, has agreed to the property being sold, but is worried about the newborn baby and somebody coming through the property. So what are your thoughts there?
Singularly, you'll not get a hearing at NCAP. It's like there are no options unless you can get a hearing at NCAP. If the tenant says you cannot enter the property, that's it, end of story. You will not get a hearing at NCAP for probably 2 months. So this is the world we're in. Again, control, not control. Yep. Can you negotiate with that tenant, give them a rent free, whatever it may be, do something to change that? But if their issue is health and safety, I doubt you're going to shift that. I've just become a grandfather for the second time and little Theodore's 2 weeks old, and I can understand fully why I wouldn't want anyone entering that property. And so if I was a tenant, I'd be doing that, quite frankly. This is the world we're in. And yes, there's going to be people who have great needs, and these things will be dealt with by NCAP down the line. But I doubt at NCAP, if you go before NCAP in 3 or 4 months' time, they say, why did you not allow access? Because I got a newborn. Yeah. Excuse the French, bugger off, they'll say to the landlord. I just think that's how it's going to be handled.
Yeah.
And John, the bottom line is, this is common sense. If you're attempting to run with the letter of the law, as opposed to if you're running with what's the right thing to do in this situation, that's going to serve us incredibly well. And we all know with social media now, we push an issue along those lines, I guarantee that's going to do disservice to, firstly, the client, and probably disservice to the brand overall as to how we want to be positioned.
Yeah. Completely. Absolutely. And just don't forget something I said on the webinar yesterday, social media, Facebook, as we know, it can't differentiate between smart people and silly people. So be careful what you're feeding your head with right now, because Facebook ain't the best. Not saying that to you people who are on the Facebook webinar, keep watching. But, you know, obviously these are two very smart people, but, you know, it's very hard. Mark Zuckerberg in the sky can't tell you who's worthy to listen to and who isn't. Michael, one last question for you. On the one-on-one meeting with team leaders, like, so let's picture you're a team leader with a large team. What are some of the fundamental questions you would be asking the team right now?
So I'm a team leader.
Yep.
I'm coaching a team leader. And what do you actually ask your team?
Yeah. What are the sort of things you're talking to your team about one-on-one right now?
Yeah, great. So the first thing is just a little bit of structure with this, because as a leader, I need to change the structure as to the way I'm going to be communicating. So this is now on tech. Am I jumping onto my WhatsApp group? Am I doing an audio based on three conversations I've had with three team members? Wow, this is coming up. I'm now going to get something out to everyone in the team, because I'm not due to speak with someone if they've got a large team until 2 days' time. I want to get this to them rapidly.
Yep.
So the first thing is, and look, John, you started this conversation right up front, and that is we've got to help our team get focused on the main aim of the game. And what are they focused on? Are they focused on everything that they can't do, or are they focused on what they can do? And I did this on a Facebook Live the other day. It's really simple. Either you as a leader or as a team member, you write down, here's what I can't do and here's what I can do. The more you can actually put your energy and effort into what you can do, the better results you'll produce. So really helping the team focus, that's a first ingredient. The second thing is to have a look at, well, what are the beliefs that you have around this, and help them see beyond what's occurring right now. So on the other side of this, how do you want to be launching your business? How do you want your business to look? How do you want your relationships with your clients to look? Because really, you've got now 1, 2, 3 months to be able to put energy and effort into it. Let's do it for the month. I like that, John, for this next month. Let's put energy and effort into setting yourself up for this. And the final thing is, so what are the strategies you're using right now? Are you calling people with a great care valid reason? Have you got, John, and you said it beautifully before, have you got the background understanding of what JobKeeper looks like? Have you got the background understanding of what someone might be going through, rental situation, to be able to have empathy with them firstly and then help them on their journey, whatever that journey might be? And the journey may not be leading to a sale. It may not be leading to a listing, but I guarantee it'll be leading to helping them on their particular journey. The more we do that, the better momentum actually someone creates. Now, in saying that, if someone turns around and a hot buyer actually turns up, or they've got a buyer there, then it's actually honing their buyer qualification skills, because we're not showing them the property until we've actually qualified them in a way to say, well, based on what you've actually said, I think this property is ideal for you. I think it'd be worthwhile us doing a virtual inspection right now and getting a real understanding of how the property is going to actually truly support you. And, you know, one of the things I'm doing with the team in Melbourne next week is helping them just get good at using Zoom and help them getting good at using PowerPoint. So being able to bring a PowerPoint up, show a property, run a video with someone, but do it interactively. I think too many lazy agents in this mode are just going to send out a video and say, here, is this what you're looking for? Or here's a shopping list off our website. Which one do you want to view? As opposed to, no, we've got to get into this service mode of really delivering value. So focus. How do I actually make sure your belief system is going to support you? So your mindset is going to support where you're going. And what are the 1, 2, 3 strategies you're going to apply today or this week that's going to help build momentum in the relationships you've got with the marketplace?
Yeah. So day by day, keeping positive, moving the world forward. Forward is forward. Even if it's just baby steps, forward is always forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, Sam, that at the moment, probably one of the biggest, most frequent questions we're getting is, what does this look like at the end? In other words, how does this come out? What's the property market going to be at that time? Mm. And I think it's a really interesting way to approach the answer to that. A lot of that is about the resilience of the Australian property market. That's where I sort of like to frame it up front, talk about that. It's been through some hits. It's always recovered. There is no reason why it won't recover from this, but it's going to take a hit. There's zero doubt about that. But this is, again, about opportunity. If we go through the next 3 months in this stage 3 shutdown period, maximum 3 months, whatever it may be, we're just going to create a new way of doing business. People will go through this initial shock. So buyers are dropping off, and there's, you know, solicitors advising buyers not to proceed and things like that. The reality is the banks are still lending if you meet the requirements. If you have a job and you're getting income, you meet the requirements. So you're in a position where you can actually do something about it. You'll go through this initial flurry where people will be sitting on the fence. Then they'll start trickling back in. It's almost like exactly what happened at the beginning of this year. They trickle back in and then off they went again. It's not going to be off they went again. It's just going to be a constant trickle more and more as people adjust to the new norm. And they will adjust to the new norm, and the needs, necessity type buyers and sellers that we see right now will move into aspirational buyers, first home buyers. We're still selling to investors. We've sold 3 properties to investors this week alone.
Yeah.
So they're not shying away from it. They're just taking a long-term view.
Yeah.
Real estate, long-term view, understand what happens when we come out the other end and understand how attractive Australia is going to be in general as to how we come out of this, and make sure people understand you buy and sell in the same market. It's relative. You just do that all along. And their buyers are just going to be very, very, whether you've got one buyer on a property today or whether you've got 10 the other day, it doesn't matter, so long as that's a ready, willing and able buyer who wants your property and you position yourself to be a buyer of another property. So I think that's really important to make sure we're messaging the long view.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing today and what everyone's hearing today is that now actually is the time to shine. Like while everyone's sort of, there are some people kind of very uncertain about their futures, now is the time, if you can put your head in the right space, to really pick up market share, love your customers, put arms around your customers and shine. So one last question. Actually, this is a good question. Do you think people will move their super to real estate now that we've seen a bit of a bloodbath on the share market? Like, I actually think that's probably a big opportunity, actually.
Yeah, it looks an interesting one, because it's always been the case out of crisis that they come in that way. Don't expect it in a hurry, though, in my view.
Yeah.
I think as a byproduct, possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Michael?
So just on your last point, Sam, and then I'm happy to answer that last one, is if you're feeling you need some additional support, then reach out to someone for that support right now. This isn't a time where for you to say, wow, I've just been told I should shine. I ain't feeling shiny right now.
Yeah.
Be okay. And look, the worst thing you can do is to feel like you're in a hard time and then give yourself a hard time that you're actually having a hard time. It's like a double whammy on top, Sam. So reach out to someone, set that huddle system on a Zoom call, have a couple of people that you know you can count on who's going to help you with your accountability and with your momentum, and that's going to make a huge difference.
Yep.
In terms of property, you know, one of the most amazing things, and John, I agree, property has got this amazing capability to support. And if you do a comparison to share market in terms of return on investment, wow, it is light years ahead. So people are going to look at that and see that not just from a short-term point of view, but I agree, John, from a long-term point of view.
Yeah.
I've actually got another webinar I need to jump onto.
Yeah, no, I was just about to give you all the wrap-up, actually. I felt that, you know, you guys, we'd be talking for hours. But I want to thank you both for sharing your knowledge. And like Michael just said, if you need help or anything, reach out. If you're feeling like you've kind of got this, reach out to someone who hasn't got this, because, you know, that's important. I think we all have a role to play. Email me. Yes, I am going home despite the attire. But you can always email us. There's always someone around the newsroom. So if you've got any questions, concerns or problems or anything like that, please let us know. Michael Sheargold, I just had saw a comment saying Sheargold. Thank you very much, as in. And John, I'll let you go back to your next meeting and give the puppy on the couch a hug for us.
She's due a walk.
And, and Sam, we're here to support. You know, I've worked with the profession for the last two decades. I'm here to support you guys. And if you need someone to talk with, if you want to actually go through something, if you're a leader and you're going like, where do I go to from here? We're a phone call away to help you navigate through this.
Yeah. That's what I love about these things is that everyone's here to help.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Well done.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.